Okay, I hope you guys are getting ready to get right back into it. We've got a lot of really good stuff coming up. I hate to have that music get turned off, but that was pretty darn good. So let's see. Do we have Howard? Why don't we go ahead, if you guys can hear me, go ahead and type in some of your biggest takeaways from Dr. Leaf's session in the last session, and then we'll kind of fill in the space until we get the team online to get us started again. So go ahead and type in your biggest takeaways from Dr. Leaf in the last session, and then we will go from there. Excellent. So Howard will be on in just a couple minutes. And I wanted to find out, Elise, you made a comment in the last section, if you can hear me, if you can type in. You made a comment that she makes you think. And isn't that interesting that John Maxwell says that the most important thing a leader can do in their business is think. And when we get that kind of great information, it does make us think. So any extra comments that you guys want to pop in the comment section, that would be wonderful. One of the things that I really appreciated about Dr. Leaf's session is that she was talking about how different people respond and how different people look like they're either paying attention or they're not paying attention based on how they're wired. And I'd never really given that any thought. And I'm the kind of person that's wired where if you're looking, if I'm talking with you, I really need to have that eye contact to really feel like you're paying attention to me. So I kind of made myself a little bit of note about that to say, man, you need to think about it. Other people may not be wired exactly like you. So some of you guys may have found the same thing. I know that this afternoon, one of the things that I've struggled with in the webinar environment is how do I make sure that even though I'm supposed to be online doing a webinar, how do I make sure that my staff isn't coming in and interrupting and stuff. So one of the things that I would encourage you to do is just make sure and set up some good clear parameters for your team. And I tell them, hey, guess what? I am not here. I am not available. So go ahead and make the decision. So thank you, Greg Boss, for sticking that in there. And he says, our thinking, feelings, and choices are all unique. Negativity and fear can reframe into positive and success. We can't change our past history. We could only change the present. That was wonderful. Thank you. And then Ariana is logged into you. That's awesome. So I think they're working on that right now. And I think that might be the reason for the delay for us. So it's so weird. If we were all on video, I could be asking some great questions and other people could be talking besides me. So that would be cool.
I'll get on, Sherry.
Thank you, Santi. Thank you for that.
That was awesome.
I feel like
I'm just going to keep it going, you know? See?
Yeah. I could do
that. That was
it,
awesome.
But yeah. So there you go. What do you got?
Well, now that Howard is on here, I'll get out of the way. So
Go ahead. I got a couple things I got to do. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Hey, so it is interesting, Sherry. You were just talking about what Elise was typing in there about thinking. Right. And just it was pretty cool how she was able to explain this picture that, you know, there's a few little things here. Right. And just to be able to break that down and understand the seven areas and how now I see the picture. But thinking and just going in there, she said something that was really important. And it stood out. I put it in there, put little stars next to it and underlined it twice. So like, that's my reminder. It's like, hey, check this out. It's that you are constantly changing.
Yes.
And it makes complete sense in context with everything she just talked about, everything we've talked about, you know, it puts everything in Howard's think book into context that you are constantly changing. You are not stuck a certain way. You are not set a certain way. If you don't like it, change it. And you just got to become intentional. Now, what I also thought that was fascinating, and I really want to start digging into it, is this other assessment and seeing the order of those seven things. Now, in my mind, I'm already thinking, like, oh, I want to check out Sherry's. I want to check out Howard's. I want to see, like, what's their order like? Which one do they tend to go through first in this specific message? And right at the moment. But I just find it fascinating that there's so much that we can learn and, more importantly, improve on. We're not set a certain way. God created us to, in a sense, have no limits. And so in a sense, then we have to ask ourselves, what are the limits that we put on ourselves?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Zig Ziglar's quotes.
Yes.
After listening to Dr. Caroline Leaf, makes so much more sense. You are what you are and where you are because what has gone into your mind. You can
change who you are.
Change.
That's right.
Rick Jones coming in.
Tell you what, that's a smart, smart man.
Mr. Ziglar?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. And he put it in such simple terms, too. So you can change what you are and where you are by changing what goes into your mind. You can literally change your brain. And that's what we're going to talk about in Zig Ziglar's words throughout this next session. So are we ready to go? Rick, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and I don't have muting. There you go. Perfect. All right. If you guys would get your handouts, your strategies for success PDF, we are going to go through session two, which is developing and maintaining the right attitude. Experts tell us that our first significant encounter of the day has more bearing on our mental attitude for the rest of the day than do the next four encounters of the day. Now that's exciting. It's exciting because we can control, we can choose the first encounter of our day. We have complete control over that first significant encounter. So let me encourage everybody to do a couple things. Number one, Mr. Zig Ziglar said that he didn't have an alarm clock. He had an opportunity clock. So what I'd like to challenge you to do is relabel your alarm clock, your clock, or what I did is on my alarm, I changed it, the label from, first I changed it from alarm to opportunity. You can label it. You can put a message on your quote unquote alarm on your iPhone. I don't know about other phones, but so mine says a phenomenal opportunity to glorify God. So that's what I want going in my mind every day to remind me that today is a phenomenal opportunity to glorify God. What does that mean? That means allow God's presence to live in me, to live through me so that what I do projects back that expresses that image from him through me to others. And then I have on there my favorite song, which is Shout to the Lord by Darlene Sheck. And that plays every single morning. Every single morning, I hear that same song.
Do you want me to walk them through really quick how to do that or show them?
We could do that on the break. I got a lot to cover in a little bit less time. It was definitely worth going a little bit late on Dr. Lee. All right. For example, we can get out of bed. We can isolate ourselves in a room and read positive reinforcing literature. We can read the Bible. We can talk to ourselves in a loving, encouraging way. Or we can get into our automobile and we can listen to motivational and educational recordings in Automobile University. Yes, we can control that first significant encounter. And by doing so, we can positively influence our mental attitude for the rest of the day. Dr. Caroline Leaf, the second thing I want to share with you is Dr. Leaf has an app, and that app is called Switch on Your Brain, I think is the name, or the Switch app, okay? It's called Switch. And yeah, Sherry, I think the thing to do would be to maybe put in the chat, like if we could have Santiago or you or somebody just Google how to, the instructions of changing the label on your alarm clock on an iPhone, and just put the link into the chat and then the link to the Switch app. And Dr. Leaf says to spend 16 minutes every single morning when you first get up, and she created the Switch app to help you retrain your brain. And what I do is I first read a chapter out of the Bible, as I mentioned to you guys before. Then I pray. Then I read. And then I do my daily time capsule and work on my Phenomenal Four projects. That way you got all the important things done first. Now, there's one extra level that if I exercised in the morning, I would probably get that done more consistently than I do now. But I'm always so like interested in getting my projects done. And I do a lot of webinars and pods and things like that. And those need to really be done in the morning. So that's a challenge for me. But as soon as this is over today, I'm going to go straight out there to the beach. It's a beautiful day today, and take a swim. So I'll get that done. But how you start the day is really, really important. Zig Ziglar says so much about life and our role in it depends on our attitude. He also said that your attitude determines your altitude. And in aviation, the attitude has to do with the attitude has to do with how balanced your plane is, right? And the altitude, of course, is the height that you can go. If you're not living a balanced life, you're not doing the things that we're talking about, then that's going to affect you reaching your biggest dreams and goals in life. It's just a fact. We put in, by the way, in the handouts, the Wheel of Life and the Wheel of Business assessment. I think I mentioned this earlier. Download that, go through that, have that present, because tomorrow you're going to use that to set your goals and do your phenomenal projects. I am just taking you through the proven process. Harvard and Stanford validated that 85% of the reason a person gets a job and gets ahead in that job is because of their attitude. I'm going to say that the reason that you get a client and keep a client is because of your attitude. The reason that you attract a team member and keep a team member is because of your attitude. Your attitudes come from your beliefs and how you think and how you self-regulate, as Dr. Leaf was talking about. So everything really does begin with you. The eyes are the window of the soul. I mentioned that earlier. That the things that we pay attention to is very important. Someone asked earlier, how can we start? Here's three steps to get started. Three things you can do right now to change your attitude. Number one, change your mental diet. Did you get the fact that Dr. Leaf talked to us about the input and what you do with that input? If you're putting as Zig Ziglar said it, the pure, the powerful, the positive into your mind on a regular basis, then what's gonna happen is you're gonna have good output. We covered this extensively on the last conference, Think and Be Phenomenal, Train Your Brain. Because the fact is that everything that goes in has an effect, everything you listen to, and you have to you have to understand who you are and whose you are. And you have to understand that when you allow a thought to dwell in your mind, you're basically giving that negative thought permission to go in and plant stuff that you don't want to, that you don't want planted. So it starts with changing our mental diet, changing what we allow to go into our mind. Today with social media and everything that's happened, it's difficult to do that. I walked down to the beach for a second because my next door neighbor, who is disabled, I had seen that my wife told me that he was down there. By the way, my father-in-law, Denise's dad, just had bronchitis. So thank you for your prayers. It doesn't have pneumonia, so we're good. They gave him some antibiotics, sent him home. So we're good there. But I went down to see what's happening at the beach. And he was down there. His wife is on one side of the political aisle. And I don't know that he's on the other side, but of course, the conversation gets going, right? And he's like, he tells his wife, he's like, I'll bet you $100,000 that so-and-so is going to win. And I was like, wait a minute, y'all are married, so that's not a fair bet. He said, okay, well, you know, what do you want to bet? I was like, I'm not a betting man. I don't want to bet anything. I said, okay, how about dinner? So we'll see. Well, who do you think is? You don't know. But the thing is that how many of you know that that kind of conversation, if we're not friends, if we're people, can become toxic. Number two, become a good finder. I was, he and I were out on the beach a couple weeks ago. I think I may have told you about this, but guy comes up and says, hey, listen, he says, my 16-year-old daughter's in a wheelchair. We rented a beach wheelchair for her, but we're not sure how to get it down here. And I said, look, use our private entrance because since my neighbor's disabled, she can just drive right down here. Here's my gate code. They came out and I learned that they were riding this. She had to ride this wheelchair almost a mile and as hot as a tick out there. And I said, look, that's no good. You guys coming back to this beach, I'll just keep it in my garage, plug it in, keep it charged. Here's my remote. And so I just served them. And there were, she had a friend who was 15. The other couple had an 18-year-old. And I just filled those kids up with the phenomenal talk for a week. Gave them each a copy of my dream book, signed it to them and encouraged them and everything. And man, it felt good. So when you do good for other people, it helps your attitude and it helps your self-image. And then number three, change your self-talk. You can't change from a negative mindset to a positive mindset without changing from negative talking to positive talking. Remember that slide I showed you earlier, think and be phenomenal. Watch your words, watch your thoughts because they become words. Watch your words, they become action. So we have to be constantly aware of what we're saying because when we're talking, we're saying the words that are coming from the thoughts that we have. And so we change it, changing just when we get the negative thought and we start to say the wrong thing, we correct that. We don't say, I can't. We say, maybe I won't, or better yet, say, I can. And the youth has already started over there. And so I can't wait to go over there and peek in and see how the young people are doing over there in the I Can course. We have to say it out loud and we believe it. One of the secrets is that what you say, you believe. Nobody considers themselves a liar, and liars have this terrible guilt on them because they know that they're not telling the truth. They know that that they're living a lie, and none of us want to be a liar. So when you say something, your non-conscious mind says, accepts it as the truth. This is why speaking positive is scriptural. And the fact is that when you change your language, when you change your negative self-talk to positive self-talk, it goes into your soul and it changes you. And when you develop the right attitude, you're going to respond instead of reacting. So there's a couple of activities here that you can do a little bit later. Next piece of it is the awesome power of PMA, which is a positive mental attitude. You've heard that it said that it's a temporary thing. You've heard that it's a temporary thing. In fact, Zig Ziglar used to get criticized when all this, remember that he was on the cutting edge of all this stuff. I mean, he was one of the first ones, along with Earl Nightingale and the Power of Positive Thinking, Norman Vincent Peale, and shared the stage with Norman Vincent Peale and people like that. And this stuff was just becoming popular. And he was the leader in this arena. And people said, well, you know, that motivation stuff doesn't last. And he said, well, neither does bathing. And that's why we recommend it daily. How many of you know what I'm talking about, right? And so the thing is that you can make positive thinking, having a positive mental attitude, you can make it last longer, even permanently, if you'll work on developing it. That's why we had Dr. Leaf at our Change Your Brain conference in May. The reason we brought her back was because we thought we were going to be in person. And we were also disappointed that we didn't get to meet her in person. So, hey, I got to have you back. And that way we can meet in person. Obviously, that didn't happen. So we got to just keep trying until we can get her in person. But the fact is that you can make a positive mental attitude permanent by working on it every day, working on developing it. Now, positive thinking, contrary to some groups out there, they think just if you name it and claim it. You know, Zig Ziglar never said, if you can dream it, you can achieve it. He never said that. And people say that he never said that. Now, you can't achieve it if you don't dream it. If you don't think it, you can't. But the fact is that positive thinking alone won't let you do anything, but it'll let you do everything better than negative thinking will. Positive thinking will let you use the ability, the training, the experience, and the knowledge that you have. And it will help you to be better at what you do. Zig Ziglar oftentimes talked about a doctor. You can take two doctors with the same skill. If he believes that this surgery is going to work and he has a positive attitude about it, he's probably going to work harder on this surgery. Ability, same training, same experience, same knowledge. So it helps you do everything better. The healthiest of all human emotions is gratitude. The attitude of gratitude is the most important and the most life-changing. Is the most important and the most life-changing. Why? Because you're no longer focused on yourself. We're going to talk some more about this tomorrow, that a self-centered person is not a grateful person. And when you have problems, when you wake up with stinking thinking, go straight to gratitude. Every single one of us on this conference have a great deal to be thankful for. Lou Holtz calls it the immigrant's attitude. You know, when there was all this movement to America early on, you know, my father-in-law is Italian. He came over here when he was 17 years old from Italy. They went through the war over there and bombing all around and everything. And he got a job. He worked hard. He built a career. He raised his family. He did right by his family. And he had that immigrant's attitude. He didn't take anything for granted. This is the problem, one of the major issues we have in our society today, and that is a lack of gratitude for the freedom that we do have. Yeah, politics is all messed up. Yeah, we got race issues, we got all these issues, but let's not go out in the streets and destroy everything. Protesting, peaceful protesting is all right. It's not even reported right. We're not even getting the right story from anybody. How about if we join the police department, we go to the police academy, we run for office, at least insist on peaceful protesting. You can't demand that other people are going to change. We have to change. I love this story. When you get we'll give you the link a little bit later, maybe after this session, if you want to order this today. But there are great stories on this blueprint for achievement. I ordered some of these to send out to you guys if you order it, when you order it. But there's a great story on there that Zig told. Laurie Majors got a phone call from someone who was going to a lady that was going to a seminar in Birmingham, Alabama. And she told Laurie about her problem, and Laurie told Mr. Ziegler that, you know, I think you can really help this lady if you'll just spend a few minutes with her. And Zig said, it just so happened that I had about 10 minutes in my schedule that before I went out on the stage, I could, you know, meet with her, and had her scheduled to meet me backstage. And he said, you know, I've never seen more negativity in one human being in all my life. He said, I could see it from the other side of the stage. And she came walking up to me and said, I'm so glad that you were able to meet with me. And he said, well, what was the problem? She said, well, I hate my job. I hate everybody down there at my job, and nobody down there is da 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 da, all this about her job. And he said, I got bad news for you. She said, what's that? He said, I believe they're about to fire you. He said, she couldn't have been more stunned than if I had thrown a bucket of ice water in her face. She said, fire me? I'm the only one down there that's worth anything, and on and on and on. He said, look, he said, what I've learned is that if you can't learn to be grateful for something, it's not going to work out. And there's got to be something that you like about the job. And she said, well, I don't like anything about the job. And he said, no, I think, he said, well, let me ask you a question. He said, do they pay you? And she said, well, sure they pay me. In fact, they pay me quite well. You have benefits. And so he started identifying some things. He said, what I'd like for you to do is write those things down. And she just stood there. And he said, ma'am, one thing I've learned is that if you won't take step number one, you can't take step number two. And so begrudgingly, she wrote down that they pay me, and they pay me quite well. And before they got done with the list, she had 22 things she was grateful for about her job: special parking place, vacation, this, that, and the other thing, and corner office, all those kinds of things. He comes back and he told her to recite the list twice a day. He came back 6 months later and he said she was smiling so big that she could have eaten a banana sideways. And she came up to me and he said, "How's it going?" And she said, "Man, you wouldn't believe how much those people down there have changed." So maybe when we get stinking thinking, we need to do the same thing. If you want to improve your attitude about someone or something, make a list of the reasons why you should be grateful for that person or that situation. Then twice a day, look in a mirror and recite those positive reasons. I love my spouse because. I love my school because. Or I love my child because. In her case, I love my job because of these 22 things. And of course, if you haven't done so already, you know, use the time that you have in your car to listen to positive things. You might find that instead of listening to talk radio 24/7, that you could use that time more wisely. I mean, one thing that'll encourage you is this right here. Pop in a little Zig Ziglar, give it about 15 minutes, and you can go from depressed, I'm using that term loosely, not clinically, depressed to laughing and slapping your knee in 15 minutes or less. Powerful, powerful stories. We need to get this in and soak in it so that it gets here. All right? Next, we build an attitudinal reserve. Imagine you can store up important neurotransmitters to help you maintain a positive mental attitude. This is what we just learned from Dr. Lee. When you hear a motivational presentation, especially one that provides specific directions, your brain is flooded with energizing neurotransmitters, including dopamine, I can pronounce that word, but not right now. And serotonin, norepinephrine. Anyway, somebody will help me with that one. All those things that were firing off in that brain that Dr. Leaf shared with us, that's what's happening when you listen to this stuff. You can literally build up an attitudinal reserve. Motivation is temporary, but energizing neurotransmitters can make motivation long lasting because you're building that the branches of that beautiful tree. Now, Mr. Ziglar also said that the more that you know about anything, the more creative you can become in that subject. What does that mean? That means that when you learn this stuff, you listen to these 16 times and you're working on a project, you're working on a goal, or you're trying to build a new habit, you can be more creative with that. If you're a mechanic or a woodworker or something like that, you can do cooler things and more creative things because you've learned so much about it, the experience and the training that you've had. Here it is. Mr. Ziglar said you should read at least 15 minutes a day and listen to recordings all the time. Self-talk is the most powerful, most significant, most life-changing thing that you will ever encounter. That's what this is all about. When you memorize those quotes, you confess those quotes. When you memorize scripture, you confess those scriptures. You speak those scriptures, you speak your future into existence, it changes your brain. It literally changes your brain. So we're talking about how do you reach your biggest dreams and goals. Dream starts with you. It starts right here, your self-image, your attitude, and your attitude comes from your beliefs about who you are, who God is, what the possibilities are, and it's a very, very powerful thing. So my goal for you is to help you develop yourself with this proven personal performance information, because the phenomenally successful person builds the phenomenally successful business. The phenomenally successful person builds a phenomenally successful career. Question, what can you do every day to build your attitudinal reserve? I told you what I do. And, you know, when I'm driving, I'm either listening to uplifting music. I might use that time to connect with people, talk on the phone, or listen to podcasts when you run or walk on the beach, when you jog or whatever, when you ride your bike. Use all those times to put this encouraging messaging into your mind. Now, we did a qualities list earlier in session one, building a healthy self-image. Now, Zig has given you 33 more qualities to add to your self-talk. I am grateful. I'm dependable. I'm thrifty. I'm sober. I'm supportive. I'm personable. I'm kind. I'm faithful. Claim those things is what Mr. Zig Ziglar said. Claim those things. All right? When you get the CDs, you're going to hear some of these stories that are referred to on this handout. Also, you probably already noticed this, but if you missed any of the keywords there, any of the fill in the blanks there, they follow each of these sessions. I think we have till 2 o'clock. I think we should go ahead and get a little bit ahead of the game. I didn't know how long it would take me to get through some of this stuff. I thought some of it might be pretty quick. So we're going to go ahead and jump into session three, get a little bit ahead of the game. That way we can give you more tomorrow. Session three, prepare to build winning relationships. I want to say to you, and you've probably heard me say this many times before, and that is that I believe that building winning relationships is the most important skill that you can have in the business world. Really, in life, our relationship with God, our relationship with one another, our relationship with neighbors and the community, all of business and all of life is about relationships. And trying to build winning relationships before you're personally ready is a lot like trying to get an A on a test without studying. You might do it once or twice, but you won't do it consistently. You have to prepare yourself. Then you can successfully build winning relationships. Now look around. I gave you the 8 things that everybody wants earlier. They want to be happy. They want to be healthy. They want to be at least reasonably prosperous. They want to have friends. They want to have peace of mind. They want to have good family relationships. They want to be secure, and they want to have hope for the future. Now, as you look around this world today, is that what you see on social media? People are happy. Oh, they're just so happy on social media. News comes on. Everybody's so happy. You look around, most people healthy, or are they unhealthy? Are they, do we have, are most people prosperous, or do you look around and see that so many people are broke and in debt? Do most people that you look around, they have real friends? They have real friends? regardless of the social media following, regardless of how many fans they have on Instagram or Twitter? Do they feel secure? Do they have good family relationships? Do they have hope for the future? It's not what I see. I see people in this community. I see people in ZLC. We have a bubble. And what we need to do is we have a circle. We need to invite more people in that circle because people are starving for this. They're starving for the truth. And if you go out to be a friend, you go out to build winning relationships. Zig Ziglar said, you don't go out trying to find friends. You go out to and be a friend, and you'll have a lot of friends. My wife has so many friends because all she does is she just serves strangers. I love that. One key to building winning relationships is to realize that there are no superior sexes or races. Can we just get that one behind us? Can we just get that one behind us? It's not wise to feel lonely and isolated. What's COVID-19 doing? People who do feel lonely and isolated have a 300 to 500% better risk of premature death from physical illness. You'll never see a happy, self-centered person, nor will you see a happy, ungrateful person. To build winning relationships, you need to understand that you've got to be before you can do. You have to be the right person before you can reach those dreams and goals. Because the fact is that many of your goals and dreams are going to require the cooperation of other people. Got to have clients. Have team members, got to have friends, got to have vendors, got to have coaches, got to have people who mentors, people who motivate you. Prepare to build a successful life, a balanced life. Remember that Zig also said that success is living a balanced life. In other words, when you look at that wheel of life, and please do your assessment, when you look at that wheel of life, if you're making a lot of money and everything's messed up at home, you have a terrible relationship with your spouse, you're out of balance. If you have a great relationship with your family, but you're not providing for your family, you're going further and further into debt because you don't want to work or you don't want to learn the things that you need to learn, you're not doing right by your family. You're out of balance. You can be the most religious person in the world, not know God, and be in debt. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And so the idea, when you look at that wheel of life, which is on here, and I know I'm preaching to the choir in some cases, but your employees are on here. I want them to see this. I want them to hear this. I want them to feel this. I want you to take this to your kids. I want you to take this to other people. Let's find that wheel of life. You've heard me say this before, but it warrants repeating. You see, we still got a lot of work to do. I'm glad we're getting a little bit ahead because we may not stay that way. When you look at this wheel of life and you look at the seven core areas of life, family, business, physical, mental, spiritual, financial, or this could be career right here, personal. The question is, which one of these areas are you supposed to be unsuccessful in? The answer is none of them. The next question is, how successful are you supposed to be in all of these areas on a scale of 1 to 10? The answer is borderline 11. That's a phenomenal life. When you put God in the center of your life and you work on these things every day, God's going to color outside the lines unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or even imagine. Imagine how Zig Ziglar felt when he looked around and saw what God did with him. I feel the same way. But if I'm broken in debt and I'm a beast physically, out of balance. If I'm very rich, but I'm about to have a heart attack because I haven't taken care of myself, doesn't really work. So success is living a balanced life. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be, everything's going to be totally balanced. You're going to read the one thing and you're going to hear Gary Keller say that a balanced life is a lie, that you have to go long at work and go short personally. I get it. So then he says, balancing is what success is all about. Balancing, who cares what we call it? Let's just make sure that we're working on all those areas and understand that we have all these qualities that we need to be successful. Here's how I want to live my life. A balanced life requires relationships with other people. Learning how to build winning relations is the key to achieving a successful life. The first step in building a winning relationship is to build your life on integrity. With integrity, you have nothing to fear because you have nothing to hide. I live my life so openly. I don't think everybody, I think some people kind of worry about that, but I don't have anything to hide. Nothing. File my taxes. I pay my taxes. I don't have anything to hide. And when you live your life with integrity, and even when you mess up and you say, I'm sorry, because we're going to all mess up. We're all going to choose unwisely from time to time. You admit it. You don't blame it on other people. That's coming up. You accept responsibility for what you've done. When you put the other person first, amazing things happen. Another step in building winning relationships is eliminate the blame game. What would happen to our world? What would happen to social media? What would happen to mainstream media if we stopped playing the blame game? And, I mean, how timeless and timely is this statement right here? Accept responsibility. We're all in it together. Let's focus on today. Let's focus on how we can bridge the gap, how we can help each other. If I'm responsible for me and you're responsible for you, and we both live a life of integrity, we can get along, even if we don't agree on everything. Even if we disagree politically. I love what Dr. Leaf said earlier about having civil relationships and civil dialogue. Can we disagree and still love one another? Because the people that might be showing up on your feed, probably not real friends. That brings me to forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the key elements of building winning relationships. People confuse forgiveness and fairness. Life is unfair. And they use that as a reason not to forgive. If you live in a world of fairness only, it's very difficult to build winning relationships. Winning relationships start with a huge word called forgiveness. Neuros, neuropsychologist Philip McGraw says, if we make fairness the basis of forgiveness, we're going to be at war the rest of our lives with the people in our lives. I know a guy who he and his dad had a difference in opinion about how they should run their business. And the father just could never admit that he was wrong. And he created so much heartache in that family and demanded so much that was unreasonable that not only did he spend a couple million dollars to end up with a couple million dollars legally, but he destroyed the relationship with his son. The son has forgiven him. The son has said, hey, let's put everything in the past. The father won't do it. He lives a very lonely, angry life. So do yourself a favor. Give yourself the gift of forgiveness. Forgive yourself if you've done things. Zig Ziglar said to audiences, forgiveness is the key. One of these days, you'll either say, I wish I had, or I'm glad I did. I'm glad that I asked God for forgiveness and I asked Jesus Christ into my life. Whether you do that or not, one of these days you're going to say, sure glad I did. I hope you don't say, I wish I had. Do that. It'll set you free. You can either let your past beat you or you can let it teach you. Sometimes you win, sometimes you learn. But you've got to make friends with your past in order to be fully productive in your present. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentment. Who wants to live in with resentment? I love this. Families are for winning relationships. You can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what it is that they want. Nowhere is that philosophy more important than at home with the family. You know, we talk a lot about God here because that's just what we believe. That's who we are. I can't separate. I'm not even religious. I can't separate my faith in God and the truth with everything I do. It's like once you mix oil and water, you can't separate them and just, you know, that's who I am. But when I first came to know the Lord, I didn't know how to handle that relationship. So I was like a hammer. And everything was a nail. Everybody that didn't know Jesus was a nail. I went out preaching to everybody. Anything that moved, I'd bring my Bible to lunch. I mean, don't even come within 5 feet of me because I'm going to be preaching to you. I'm going to be preaching at you. I'm not going to be trying to build a relationship with you. I'm just going to be like, you got to know Jesus. And I started chasing my wife around the house with the Bible and telling her everything that it said. If you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Finally, she stopped me one day and she said, Howard, I might be stupid when it comes to religion, but I do know one thing, that Jesus was a single man. And if you want to be like him, that can be arranged. Okay, that got my attention. Then I thought about a quote that I heard one time that said, preach the gospel and if necessary, use words. See, people don't pay attention to what you say. They pay attention to what you do. And more importantly, they pay attention to how you make them feel. They're going to be attracted to you when you love them. Are you going to tell the truth? Yes. We have to tell the truth. But it's called truthing in love. That's what my mentor told me. My mentor, the wisest man that I know, Bill Beckham, said, Howard, you got the greatest message in the world, greatest message that's ever existed on planet Earth, in heaven, and in history. but your delivery needs a lot of help. How many of you are saying amen right now? That there's things you want your team members to do or your family to do, and it's the right thing to do, but you're not getting the message across. Leadership is effectively communicating. So guess what I did? I started taking out the garbage. I started doing things for my wife instead of being down there at the church all the time. Nothing wrong with that, but you don't, again, you got to be balanced. I'm not saying don't go, don't serve. I'm just saying that your primary responsibility is your family, your spouse. And when I started serving her, then she started paying attention. Next thing you know, she starts going to meetings with me. Next thing you know, she starts getting to know God. She ends up coming to know Christ. And now I try to keep up with her. I feel like a sinner around her. And it came from serving. You really can have everything in life if you will just help enough other people get what it is that they want. Men and women are different. I love this. I haven't listened to this story. I'm looking forward to actually looking for that story on these CDs. But apparently Zig told a story. Oh, that's not the one. Wait a minute. Where is that? I guess that one's coming up. Anyway, the story was... I'll find it. Maybe that's tomorrow. Okay. Let's see. Men are more goal-oriented. Women are more relationship-oriented. When we understand the difference between men and women, we cross a huge barrier, road barrier, in those relationships. We will never solve. This is so huge right here. This is for today. This is timeless and timely. We will never solve the crime problem until we solve the father-son problem. Wisdom really is a gift from God. We were watching a program last night about criminals and serial killers, and it was a series about what happens in the mind, in the brain, and they talked about nature versus nurture. We talked about that in leadership yesterday. And they said, really, everything points to that person's experiences growing up. And they made the distinction that the absence of the father in the family. See, our heavenly father, God is our picture of our heavenly father. And when we get that whole picture distorted, our identity is distorted, and now we're just left on our own flesh, our own emotions to do whatever. And so we find an identity that we're comfortable with, and we go with that, and we fight for that. That's our right. Well, it is your right, but does it work? Is it working? So the crime problem comes from the father-son problem, the family problem. Wisdom really is a gift from God. I pray for wisdom every day. And reading the Word of God, I want wisdom. This is why I follow Zig Ziglar. This is why I'm teaching this to you today, because that man was a wise man. Being considerate doesn't mean that you're soft with the other person, but it does mean that you're doing the right thing for that person. Being considerate breeds loyalty in an individual. So you have to tell the truth. Sometimes in some situations, you have to practice some really tough love. Anybody has a teenager who went through alcoholism or rebellion of any kind knows what I'm talking about. Unconditional love is a key ingredient in bonding with your children. I have to tell you, it's easier with a grandchild. And if you have a grandchild, you know what I'm talking about. I remember the story now. A woman walked in a bookstore and she said, I'm looking for the book called Man, the Superior Sex. And the clerk said, oh, it's upstairs in the science fiction department. All right, Sherry Perry, I need a favor from you and Santi and Rick.
What you need?
Okay, I need you guys, let's get you off of mute. I need you guys to give me some feedback, plus this up. Denise is serving me today, and she is cooking some Italian meatballs, and she told me before she left that they're on the stove. Now, I smell them. They don't smell burnt yet, but if I don't go check them, I'm in trouble. So take over for me for just a second, okay?
You're in good hands. So I just
Is it my speaker? Maybe I think it's my speaker. Sorry.
I can hear Sherry. So okay, Sherry, you're good.
Thank you. Okay, what I was going to say, on page 11, if you guys look in the handouts at the bottom of page 11, I circled this and highlighted it because I thought, I bet that this was a quote that was picked years and years ago to be in this Strategies for Success, because this is not new material. But talk about a quote that really speaks to where we need to be right now and what in the world is going on in our world. So in the depths of winter, I finally learned there was in me an invincible summer. And that's what I love so much about going back to the basics of Ziglar material, because it really is back to the basics. It's not, you know, it's not new material. It's not stuff where we're like, oh, wow, I've never heard that before. It's literally common sense. It's right thinking. It's centered on other people. And it reminds us that we have such a gift to give to other people. And when Howard said that we need to invite more people, I just thought, man, that is so true, because so many people are hurting right now. And they don't have this circle of influence, and they don't have people whispering into their ear about changing your attitude and changing your life. So Santi, that's kind of what I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about. What do you think about that?
I just find it funny how it's like, can you guys plus it up? Just the fact of saying plus it up into what we're talking about. Here's the thing that we got to recognize. We're just skimming on the beginning of it. Everybody sees the activities that go along with this. This is not something that you're just gonna, you know, in the next break, get it all accomplished. Mm-hmm. This is something you're gonna grab, and if you haven't printed it out, you can just print it out later, and you're gonna like start to work on it. You start looking at one of these right here, and I'm just continuing on with the self-centered, right? That's where Howard was finishing up on building winning relationships, and that part right there, I was going up on the pages. But you start thinking about just that, and how many people nowadays are self-centered?
I think we all have a little tendency to be self-centered.
Exactly.
I think it's easy to, you know, I think sometimes you have to wake up and go, hey, course correction. We need to get focused, back refocused on people, course correction. And that's exactly what this material lets us do.
And you just got my point. Here's what I was going to say. It's a lot easier for us to see what everybody else is doing wrong.
Yeah.
Because maybe they don't have the same ideas, thoughts, beliefs. Look, here's another thought. They probably never went through this. They never had the opportunity of somebody in their lives that cared enough about them to say, hey, man, let's sit down. Let's talk. Like, you know, how you started talking about in the beginning about the immigrant mentality. I'm an immigrant and I love this country, like with all my heart.
Listen, when I see, people, Yeah, people who are talking about, that grew up here, talking about, I don't want to get political, but they're dogging this country. They haven't been anywhere else. I'm sorry, they just haven't been anywhere, period.
And so going to connect these two parts of this is, you got, you know, what we were just talking about, being self-centered and just being, it's easy for us to talk bad about everybody else. But I want to bring it back to what Howard just said. How can we invite more to hear this message, to connect with this message, to see that there is more to life than just living a miserable life? That there's a whole lot more where we can be full of joy and happiness. And then we start to kind of put it all together and recognize that, you know what? If we work together, we can really accomplish some amazing and incredible things.
Yeah, did you see Dave's question? Because I think it fit. I think Dave's question in the chat is right along with this. So he says, how do you avoid setting goals that are centered around yourself? And I think you just get yourself in the mode of A, being in the right place around the right people, and check that off, you're there, but also asking yourself that question and seeing if it measures up. You can get everything in life you want if you help enough other people get what they want. So ask yourself questions around your goal, Dave. Is it serving other people as well? And, you know, there's nothing wrong to say, I want a boat or a car or a building or whatever. I mean, that's up to you. But in the bigger piece of the puzzle, what's going to happen as a result of you reaching that goal? And I think
that's it. That's it.
It's cool what happens, because, you know, you see, you know, we were out a week. We went to Alaska a couple of weeks ago, and I got the most glorious email from a staff member that said, thank you for doing what you have to do in the business, or what you've done in the business, to give me an opportunity to lead and showing me what it's like to take the time with your family. So I got to go on a trip that I wanted to go on. I didn't want to go fishing. Let me just put that out there, but I went with the guys. But we got to spend some really great time together, and my staff got to do something. And it's almost like you're showing how to set a goal, you're getting the goal, and you're showing them that if you can do it, they do it, and you're encouraging and empowering them to get the goal as well. So everybody wins.
Absolutely. And going back to what you just said right there, I'm going to connect it back to what Howard was talking about earlier today with the story of Spindletop.
Yes.
You know, Spindletop literally changed Texas and the United States almost overnight. If you just start just going through that one little part of this story, there is absolutely nothing wrong with wanting to be, do, have more. Absolutely nothing wrong with that, because every step along the way, the things that you're going to do are going to require more people to come along with you in order to make those things happen.
Yeah.
So when we see that, there's nothing wrong with that. It's a fantastic thing. What it is just is an amazing opportunity. Now I'm going to bring it back to living in the greatest country in the world. We live in a land that is full of opportunities. And so going back to what Dave was asking in that question, it's a good thing. Later on, you will get to a point where you're like, okay, I got everything that I want to be, do, and have. So then you ask yourself, okay, what can I give? And then you continue on with your legacy. What are you leaving behind? And if we just start thinking about that process or that circle, how cool is that? Because you can never fulfill it. It always just keeps on growing. This has been totally awesome. Just so grateful that I get to be on here and listen in and take notes as fast as I can. And I hate it when I can't write down fast enough. Is that just me? Maybe it's just me, but
yeah, but then you find the notes on the other page and you're like, yes. You have to find That's out, right. Howard, are you in trouble or did the meatballs survive?
Oh, meatballs are perfect. Okay. And guess what? I went to get something else.
Oh,
Exhibit A. Someone by the name of Sherry Perry and Dean Perry and Tyler Perry sent us flowers for our anniversary. Thank you so much. So I'm going to keep those in the shot all day today and tomorrow.
Well, 36 years is a testament, and it's such a blessing to be around people who figure out. I wrote a book for my dad for his 60th birthday, and one of the chapters was called No Matter What. And I love that. Marriage is no matter what. Yes.
I love it. Well, you know, it really, 36 years is certainly a testament to Denise's persistence, patience, doggedness, to put up with me for 39 years.
Amen.
I know I said an amen from somebody. We are right back on track. I think our next break is 2 p.m. I see Beverly Parrish in the shot. Yay. So Beverly's coming up next. And listen, during this time, families are in close proximity. Beverly wrote a book on homeschooling, which is more of an inspirational book altogether, even though it's about homeschooling. And she'll tell you all about her books and the stuff that she does. But thank you for being here, Beverly. We're going to take about a 15-minute break. I want to hear real quick from Mr. Rick Jones if there was something you wanted to say before we go on break.
You know, Ziegler always talked about attitude, I think, as much that and integrity more than anything else, always. And I was looking at some of the notes you just covered where he said the Harvard University and Stanford validated that 85% of the reason people get a job and get ahead in that job is because of their attitude. You know, I think we could probably take those same figures, Howard, and apply them to leadership.
Yeah.
I think that 85% is the reason we will get ahead, that we become the leader that we can be and should be for the people, and then to help them to gain that also in the process.
Yes. Yes. Perfect. Absolutely. Absolutely. All business, all life is about relationships. 50 years of study by Kuzis and Posner that wrote the Leadership Challenge series. At the end of the day, they said all of our research tells us that it's all about the relationship between the team member and their supervisor, period. And when you can stretch that across a whole organization and create a community, it's a very, very powerful thing.